Well, I'm here to tell you first and foremost that if you don't feel like you're a saint, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that you don't feel as though you are worthy to be a saint of God. Because that is a marker and a telltale sign that you are one, okay? But I want you to know and understand that we as God's beloved that have been called and born again by that amazing and sovereign and irresistible Spirit of God are called and given the title of being saints of the Lord. See, being a saint of the Lord is not something that you earn. It is not something that you receive or that you accomplish over your lifetime and over your good works and your fruitfulness and your faithfulness and all of those things. You don't become a saint. You are titled a saint by God Himself. You are marked as a saint of the Lord. And that marking and that title is given to us from God Himself, from God Almighty. We are called the saints of the Lord. And it doesn't matter if you don't want to be one. It doesn't really matter if you feel as though you are worthy to be one. The fact of the matter is that I want you to see first and foremost this afternoon is that you is one, okay? You are one. You are saints. And if we are saints, folks, then what I want you to see more than anything this afternoon is that I want you to act like one. Because the problem that we have in so much of modern Christianity and so much of the Church of Jesus Christ today, we don't have a shortage of saints of the Lord, folks. We have a shortage of saints who act like they are saints of the Lord, who carry themselves and conduct themselves in a way that is meaningful and appropriate for saints of God. We have to take ownership of our sainthood, of what God has given us, of what God has called us, of what God has purposed for us to be and do. And not be content or believe ourselves to be able to walk in the ways of who we were. We were sinners, and in many ways we are sinners, and I understand that. And as I said, we can never forget or neglect what we are naturally in and of ourselves, and I don't want to get ahead of me, but we're going to get to that here in a few minutes. But first and foremost, we must understand that we have been made new. We have been called new with a purpose and a meaning as saints of the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Peter, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to a lot of familiar passages. It's not going to be anything out of place for any of you guys that you're not going to be familiar with. So I'll move kind of quickly through these. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. But ye are a chosen generation. By who? By God, folks. He chose you. He chose us, each and every one of us. He titled us saints of the Lord. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And trust me, y'all are a peculiar bunch of folks. That ye should show forth. What is the purpose of the saints of God? What is the calling of the saints of God, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness, out of sin, and into His marvelous light. The saints of God are to stand in light, in love, in unity, in fellowship, in faith, in holiness, in purity, all of those things that we teach and that we show. But see, our sainthood is built upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ, whose righteousness was imputed to us, whose righteousness wiped and cleansed us. We are not saints because of our own actions or because of our own deeds, but because of the title and the love and the grace bestowed upon us. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us this same thing, another familiar passage for so many of us. If you want to turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 for me, I'm going to read and really try not to chase rabbits in Ephesians chapter 1. So let's see if we can do it. Let's pick up at verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 1. It says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him." He chose us. He titled us saints of the Lord. "Before the foundation of the world, that we should," there you go again. What are saints supposed to do? Act like saints. "That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Him, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." Do you want to know the purpose of the saints of God? It is to the praise of His glory. That is our calling. That is our purpose. That is our fit and our function and our mission in this life, folks. It is not so that we can pat each other on the back and say, "Hey, Brother Saint, how are you today? Hey, don't it feel good to be a saint?" No. It is to gather together to the praise of His glory, to recognize and shine out and show forth what He hath done for us and how good He has been to us. I love that passage somewhere in the Psalms that says, "I will tell you how good the Lord hath been unto me." What a beautiful and important thing that is for the saints of the Lord to shine out and declare in all the world that we have been blessed, that God has touched us and blessed us and saved us and redeemed us by the blood of His only begotten Son. And we can rejoice now and live every day in that knowledge and thanking Him. Folks, there is no shortage of saints in the world today. But as I said, in many ways there is a shortage of those who walk unworthy, who walk short, if you will, of their calling. And that's why we're told right here in Ephesians chapter 4. What did Paul tell us? I'm going to take you to a few different passages because I want you to see and understand the calling of a saint. You are titled a saint. You are made a saint by God Himself, by the work of the Holy Spirit upon you. You are titled and made. You are changed to a saint. And then from that sainthood, which is imputed to you, you are called to work and to purpose. Look at what he says here in Ephesians chapter 4. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you," verse 1, "that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Do what you're called to do. Do the work that you're called to do. That's the vocation part, right? You're called to be a saint. God has made you a saint. So act like it. Walk worthy of the sainthood that God has bestowed upon you, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. What a beautiful instruction that is. We are called to endeavor. What did he say? "I beseech you to walk worthy." Do we walk worthy of the sainthood of God? Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I believe Brother Craig mentioned this in his prayer. I beseech you. Again, he's pleading to us. He's calling us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is your reasonable service as one who has been made and called a saint by God Almighty, empowered and endowed with that wonderful and amazing grace of God. We are not short of anything. We don't have a shortage of supply to do the work that God has called us to. And it is our reasonable service that we walk worthy of that calling. As I said earlier, I truly believe one thing that we need to see and understand so much among God's people today is we have to take ownership of our calling. So many people today want to cop out of the higher calling of God upon them. They want to make excuses why, oh, well, brother Aaron, I can't do this and I can't do that. You know, it's just too hard. There's too much going on, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry, and I don't mean to diminish anyone's burdens or problems. But folks, we are supplied by the amazing and powerful grace of God, and it is reasonable, reasonable for each and every one of us to act like it and to walk in the calling that God has called us to. It's not undoable, if you will. It's not unattainable for us to act like the saints that God has called us to be. And that's what we must be mindful of each and every day. That beautiful little book of Jude, right before Revelation. You're familiar with that passage that is so well known in the book of Jude in verse 3. Jude says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered and continually delivered unto the saints." We have to have that mindset in that heart to contend earnestly, to walk worthy, to do our reasonable service as saints of the Lord. Are we sinners? Absolutely, we're sinners. And we will always be sinners. But folks, we no longer are called to walk in that sin-filled, natural, fallen, wretched state. We have been given new life. That's why Paul talked, I believe it's in Ephesians again. He said, put off the old man and put on the new man. Let's put it on, folks. Let's act like who God has called us to be. Let's obtain what God has called us to do. Let's fulfill the purpose that God has set before us. And let's go to work. It's time that the saints of the Lord stand up and say so and walk worthy of the calling He has called us to. Now, I want to talk for just a couple of minutes, if you will, in three different facets of what I want you to see and understand, as I'm going to call them and title them if you want to, the heart and the character that we should have as the saints of God Almighty. What is the heart and the character of a saint of the Lord? What is the focus and the mission of a saint of the Lord? The first one I mentioned right off the start. The first heart and character trait, if you will, that a saint of the Lord must have completely and fully is to understand and realize the immenseness that the gift of sainthood is, and that each and every one of us are never worthy or deserving of that gift. It's a little thing that we call and recognize as humility, right? The saints of the Lord must walk humble. We must recognize always the amazing blessing of God, the calling of God who made us saints, and never be brought into ourselves or puffed up or brought into pride to ever think that, hey, I earned this special title God gave me. I earned this special green jacket that God told me I could wear and be a saint. Folks, it's not a special club that we earn our way in or that we achieve for ourselves. And keeping a heart of humility, realizing fully and completely in our hearts who we are without God, who we were without God, as Paul said, never forgetting, O wretched man that I am, we are then able to attain and see who we are called to be, who I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. And we're not, O wretched man that I am, sinner. We are saint. We are called for a purpose above that of what so many see and understand. In that passage in 1 Corinthians, I want to go there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because one of the things that I love so much about Paul the Apostle is in all the good that he did, in all the ministry, in all the suffering that he endured for the gospel message of Jesus Christ and for the furtherance of the knowledge of His kingdom in the earth. For all that Paul the Apostle did, he never forgot who he was without the Lord. He never forgot who he was before that day on the road to Damascus. And he never, I think in many aspects, forgot it. Number one, he never ran away from it. But I always wonder personally, and this is just Aaron personally, if Paul always felt ashamed of the persecution and the suffering that he plagued upon the church of Jesus Christ before that encounter, before he had that back to Jesus meeting on the road to Damascus. Because you know how we see that? We know how we see the humility of Paul the Apostle in all of this is that every time he preached, all through the book of Acts that records sermons of Paul, in almost every epistle, he admits it. He admits what he did, who he was. He never ran away and tried to forget, O wretched man that I am. But he also always recognized and took ownership of who he was today, who he was now. No longer that old man, no longer that Saul of Tarshish, but Paul the Apostle, by the grace of God. And that's what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look here with me at verse 9. Let's just look at verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. He was someone else. He was a persecutor of the church without God. But by the grace of God, he was something else. He was someone else, someone different. I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. I want to ask each and every one of you, are you going to recognize and take ownership of your sainthood, of your calling of God to be a saint and walk worthy of that sainthood and not allow that grace to be bestowed upon you in vain? Are you going to labor more abundantly than them all? Because you recognize and see the immenseness and the awfulness and the wretchedness of who you were without God. Is that going to motivate and encourage and empower you to walk worthy and fully in the grace of God and to run every day with every ounce of energy to declare to all how good and how awesome and how wonderful your Lord has been to you and how much He has bestowed and given to you? Are you going to labor for His kingdom? Are you going to labor for His gospel? Are you going to labor for His saints to help them and encourage them? Too many don't see the immenseness of the difference between who they were and who they are. And that's one of the biggest problems that we have. We need to understand fully how wretched we were and we are without God so that we can truly see how blessed and how holy and how wonderful we are with the Spirit of God in our hearts and walk worthy of it. Walk worthy of it. The second characteristic, second character trait of a saint of the Lord, you know what we're going to do? You know what we should do? We should sing. Saints of the Lord should sing, folks. Psalm 30. Look back with me in Psalm 30. We're going to spend a few minutes in the Psalms now. Psalm 30, verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Are the saints of the Lord singing today? You say, well, preacher, we sing every Sunday. Sing four songs. Is that the singing that the psalmist is writing about? I've said many times, folks, we need to recognize and understand that the saints of God must sing by the lives that we live. The lives that we live is our song to the Lord, okay? And how we sing that life, how we conduct ourselves, is what is pleasing and honoring unto God Himself. Are we singing a song unto the Lord? Are we singing glory and praise with our thoughts, with our words to one another, with our care and help and support of each other and of our communities and our families and our friends and total strangers? Are the saints of the Lord singing today? Are we singing, seeing an evidence of the sounding of the saints of the Lord going out? Or do we hear a chilling silence? Do we hear a soft mumble that isn't very evident or clear in any facet or part of our society, that's not clearly heard in many parts of our own homes and families? Folks, I fear today that too many of the saints of God stand silent and do not sing with their lives unto the Lord. And that, dear folks, is something that I believe must change. And we must set our hearts and minds to sing unto the Lord and to sing loud. The world needs to hear the song of the saints of God. Other saints of God need to hear your song. They need to hear it sound out. It needs to resound from our churches and go out. None of us are called to come and just sing on Sundays and not have any other joyful or praising noise unto the Lord for the rest of the week. Folks, if that's the song that we're carrying, then that is a song of silence. And that's not the sound that we are called to sing as His saints. Look with me at Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Look at verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 149. It says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song. Let's start today. Let's sound out a new song. Let's sound out one that they can hear. You want to? And His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. One of the, I think, fundamental attributes of the song of the saints is that it is a joyful, a joy-filled song. How many of us carry a joy-filled song towards our brothers and sisters in Christ? You know what where I'm going with this? Anybody a complainer? Huh? Anybody, it's awful. It's cold. Wind's blowing. Got everything, every pessimistic idea that you can imagine. Is that a joyful song? Is that a joyful noise in His ear to hear us complaining and griping all the time? Folks, the song of the saints of God should be a song of joy in whatever state we are in. What did Paul say? For I have found whatever state I am in, therewith to be content, to be joyful, to be peaceful. Let it be a new song of joy and positivity, because those are the songs that are encouraging to others that may be struggling to find their way and understand God's truth and to learn their calling and purpose. So we must show them and sound to them a song of joy. It must be a shining light to them. Verse 3, let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. It shouldn't be a quiet mumble, folks. And I'm not saying on Sunday mornings we all got to sing with every ounce of energy that we got, you know, and just pour it out. I'm saying in our lives, it should be a loud sound. It should be one that affects our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, our family members. They should know where we stand, not by the volume of our voice, but by the joy of our voice, by the righteousness of our voice, by the holiness, by the commitment and devotion of our voice and our faith. They should know and see our praise and glory to God. That's the song we should sing, and we got to sing louder, folks. We have to sing louder, because the church too often today is standing silent, and we have to change that. The last thing that I want us to see, and I'm finishing up, is that the saints of the Lord, the last character trait, is that saints of the Lord hunger and thirst for the Lord. Amen. Always. Are you hungry and thirsty today? I'm not talking about for natural food. I'm talking about for spiritual food. That's a marker that you're a saint of the Lord. Have you been looking forward to this as much as I have? I don't care how many or how few are here. I care about that the Lord is here and that we are going to be fed, because I came hungering and thirsting for Him. I came hungering and thirsting to be fed and to be filled with those sweet green grasses and still waters of God's Word. And I trust that He has provided brothers to bring and to feed us in them and by them. Psalm 63. I've been here many times, and I'm sure most of you have heard me go here. But man, I love this first verse. As David writes, he says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Folks, the world cannot feed and sustain the Spirit of God within us. It cannot supply us with what we hunger and thirst for, with what our spirit needs. And the saints of God must hunger and thirst for the things of God. And we must seek them and be willing to do whatever it takes to obtain them. And we do that by coming to the house of the Lord, coming together in spirit and in truth to worship and glorify God and to be fed by His Word and through His grace, that we may be filled and sustained and supplied to go out and fulfill the work that He calls us to. Folks, we have to hunger and thirst for the Lord again and for His Word. And another thing I fear is that too many of God's dear saints see gatherings, see meetings, see worship services as burdens and chores more than blessings and opportunities. That's got to change. It's got to change, folks. Let it start with us. Let it start today. Let it start with this little gathering of saints, that a new song would go out and that a new heart would go out to hunger and thirst for the Lord, and that we would resound the goodness of His grace, mercy, and love every day. That's my prayer for you this afternoon, for Christ's sake.